pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. A little tired, but I'm doing good, man. Worked my butt off yesterday. So, yeah, it's like a little bit slow today, but the news is not slow. That's certain. And a lot happening in the news world, as everybody knows and sees. And the events that unfolded over the last 4 days have certainly changed the topic for this evening. It didn't slow me down from being absolutely livid over what we are seeing and hearing in the bias and anti-American media, the anti-constitutional regime, the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime. But you know what? Let's talk something a little bit positive as we start off our show. We always like to start up with a little PGA news. And so the little white ball chaser, as the Alaskan calls me, the PGA of Florida, PGA was on the Florida swing, continued at the Players in Ponte Vedra, Florida. Now, the Players is a so-called fifth major. It's really a cool championship. It's a great course. They call it the stadium course. It was built specifically for this event. It is an outstanding course. It is one of the best and well-maintained aside from Augusta, which is where the Masters is held. It is really and truly a magnificent course. But what a tournament. So American Wyndham Clark jumped out to a lead on Thursday and extended that lead on Friday by 4 shots. Lurking in the back was world number one Scottie Scheffler. He was nursing a stiff neck on Friday, and he's off of his dominating victory at Bay Hill last week. And he's a defending champion of the Players. Now, the Players were celebrating its 50th year, and it was Arnold Palmer and the great Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus that actually helped bring this tournament to what it is today, along with then Commissioner Dean Beeman, who happened to be there yesterday to present the trophy. But in the 50 years of the Players Championship, there has never been a back-to-back winner. So Scottie Scheffler faced an uphill battle because the odds were not with him. And, you know, it looked grim for him because he was in the back of the pack and he got the net. And, you know, we were all writing him off, and, you know, but he was hanging in there. And while we were watching Wyndham Clark, Xander Schauffele of America took a one-shot lead into Sunday. He overtook Clark on Saturday. Clark hits the famed 17 holes is a short par three surrounded by water. It's an island green. Wyndham Clark hits absolutely the worst shot of his entire golf career. I will say, I don't know. I have never talked to the man, but he tin cupped it exactly. He hit like 2 inches behind the ball didn't even make 140 yards to the green. It fell into the lake halfway to the green. But, you know, to his credit, he had a great recovery shot, and he ended up bogeying the hole, so he's one shot back of Xander Schauffele. On Sunday, Scottie Scheffler once again turned it on for his Sunday's final round, and the lead is kind of stalled. Xander Schauffele actually maintained the lead. Then he had back-to-back bogeys, so now he dropped down to 19 under par. And all of a sudden, this name, Scottie Scheffler, is surging up the board. Birdie here, birdie there. And he posts a bogey-free 8 under par, 64. And he is in the clubhouse, in the lead, by one shot over Xander Schauffele, with Schauffele having like 5 or 6 holes to play. You know, he's got 5 or 6 holes remaining. And other golfers are now in the mix. Brian Harman, the lefty. Wyndham Clark. All three of those gentlemen now are tied at 19 under par. They're one shot back of Scheffler, who's in the clubhouse. He's done with his round. The 16th hole is a par 5, easy birdie hole, except when it's under pressure. All three players par the hole. On the 17th hole, Wyndham Clark birdies it. Now he's one shot back at 19 under. Go into the 18th hole. I mean, the dramatics in this whole thing. They go to the 18th hole. Schauffele, Harmon, and Clark are one shot back of Scottie Scheffler at 20 under par, who's at the range now putting. The first one up there is Harmon. He misses a 17-foot putt for a birdie. He finishes at 19 under par. Schauffele and Harmon, Schauffele and Clark are playing together. Clark hits a beautiful shot. He knocks it 17 feet from the hole, almost in the exact spot where Harmon was in the previous hole, in the previous group. And Schauffele, unfortunately, Xander Schauffele hits us. He smokes his second shot. He's in back of the green. He's got a 54-foot putt. He nestles it down there for a par, finishing at 19 under. That leaves Clark to tie Scheffler and force a playoff. Clark hits a really good putt, but it's fast. It's downhill, and Clark's putt literally horseshoes out of the hole. It goes in and pops out a total 360, and it was like he was getting ready to do the fist pump to join Scheffler at 20 under. And he ends up parring the hole at 19 under. Scottie Scheffler becomes the first player in 50 years to win the Players' Championship back-to-back. Shoots a bogey-free 8 under 64. It was absolutely outstanding. It was some play. This guy is unbelievable. He's so impressive at Scottie Scheffler. And he's world's number one to boot, so...
Yeah, I tell you, that putt, that horseshoot out of the hole like you like you eloquently painted a picture was, I tell you, I jumped up and was like, oh, no, because I don't know about you, that's happened to me many times, and painful, very painful. But I tell you, that was an exciting tournament, and that course was difficult.
It is. I mean, it's a difficult course. The wind was blowing a little bit, but I mean, it's just amazing the different shots that these guys hit. And there was so many people there. The crowds were great. Unfortunately for Brian Harmon and Xander Schauffele and Wyndham Clark, they could not close the door to catch Scheffler, and Scottie Scheffler wins back-to-back tournaments and wins back-to-back Players' Championships. So this man is on a roll. He's found a new putter. He went to the mallet putter versus what we call the blade, and he's getting his putting in order, and he's just draining putts. It's unbelievable what this guy is doing. Oh my God! No, sorry, I don't mean to be too excited.
Well, after the last three tournaments, this is a fun one to watch and good to see. So congratulations to Scottie. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a tough course. It really is. I played it one time before the renovations, and it's a tough course. That's all I can say. Mamma mia. I know Hank Jones does these updates, but this is worthy. Astronaut and commander of the Apollo 10 mission, Thomas Stafford, passed away at the age of 93. Commander Stafford passed away this morning in Indian Harbor, Florida. On Stafford's 31st birthday, NASA announced the selection of its second group of astronauts to spearhead the race to the moon. And in that, they announced astronauts John Young, astronaut Eugene Gene Cernan, and astronaut Thomas Stafford. And the Apollo 10 mission, which was launched May 18th and returned on May 26, 1969, was the dress rehearsal for Apollo 11's lunar landing, the first lunar landing by the United States. Apollo 10 got within 50,000 feet of the moon's surface. So got to say, you know, rest in peace, Thomas Stafford. He certainly does go down in the history books. And, you know, those the astronauts, you got to give them a lot of credit for their toughness, their heroism, and, you know, getting in that rocket and, you know, being launched into space and then having probably the most concerning time of their life in reentry. So may you rest in peace, Thomas Stafford. In international news, this is a shocker, so if you all, I hope you all are sitting down. Vladimir Putin wins the Russian elections yesterday for president of Russia. And amazingly, just absolutely amazingly, Vladimir Putin wins with 87.86% of the vote. He defeated three other candidates, Karatonov, who was in second with 3.86%. Wow, I'm sure he'll be dead next week. Dvankov, he finished third with 3.76%. And Slutsky was fourth with a mere 2.97%. So dictator Vladimir Putin wins re-election handedly, and he's given us another six-year term. Now, historically, Putin overtakes Joseph Stalin to become Russia's longest-serving dictator. Longest-serving leader. And apparently, Joe Biden's handlers contacted Vladimir Putin and is looking to implement the same voting system in America for the 2024 elections, which got dictator Vladimir Putin reelected by such a large margin. So we shall see if Biden gets 70 or 80% of the vote in November.
Russia, Russia, Russia.
Russia, Russia, Russia. Russia, Russia. I guess Hillary Rodham Clinton will also be one of the consultants for Russia, Russia, Russia. That was an absolute manufactured and phony story, by the way, and it cost American taxpayers a minimum of $30 million with regards to the Mueller investigation, and there is no price tag as to how much it cost us for everything else. So we'll see what happens in November and if the dictator Biden and his crew implement dictator Putin's voting system. In the socialist state of Massachusetts, a decision came down today. This one is really good. This one should bring a warm and fuzzy because Massachusetts continues to show how they are diametrically opposed to what occurred in 1776. So there's a city in Massachusetts called Brookline. It's just outside of Boston or Boston. It has now banned tobacco products in its city, in the city, to people born in the 21st century. And the liberal Massachusetts courts upheld this ban. And, you know, what's interesting about this is Massachusetts has zero Republicans elected to the U.S. State House, U.S. House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate. There's not one Republican. And it's the Democrat Party who proposes to move the voting age to 16 years old. Yet, these same 16-year-old individuals cannot buy any tobacco products in Brookline, Massachusetts, which was affirmed by the Massachusetts courts. Now, the progressive socialist indoctrination agenda, okay, allows for this radicalism to occur in Massachusetts. Now, if you are 16, if you're 18 or 24 years old, and you live in Brookline, You can't buy tobacco products. So you're going to have to go to Boston or drive to New Hampshire or maybe just go to Milton or maybe drive to Springfield because you can't buy tobacco products if you were born after January 1, 2000. Can you imagine that the high courts in Massachusetts upheld this ban? And it's the same Democrat Party, the same left wing, that tells us that 16-year-olds should have the right to vote in America. Now, thankfully, these 18-year-olds and 24-year-olds who reside in Brookline, they can drive to Boston or Dorchester, and they can buy their tobacco products. But for the small businesses in Brookline that sells tobacco, this is a bloodbath. This is a bloodbath for retailers in Brookline, Massachusetts. And you know what? This is the first to come because, mark my words, now that Brookline has passed this ordinance and it's been affirmed by the Massachusetts courts, it won't be long before other socialist cities in Massachusetts pass the same type of ordinance. Because government wants to tell you how to live. Government wants you to know that they will dictate what you will read, what you will smoke, what type of products that you can consume. Because that is the totalitarian way. And sadly, in the socialist state of Massachusetts, this totalitarianism is going on. But why should we be surprised? Because there are 0.0 Republicans in the U.S. House from Massachusetts. The U.S. Senate, there are 0 Republicans from Massachusetts in the U.S. Senate. So here we have it, Al. We have the bloodbath in Brookline, thanks to the Democrat Party, thanks to the left-wingers. You have to go elsewhere to get your tobacco product. I'll tell you, talk about micromanaging your life. Talk about micromanaging the way that you, as a consumer, you're 24 years old, and because you were born January 2nd, 2000, you do not have the ability to purchase tobacco products in the socialist state of Brookline, Massachusetts. Unbelievable. Socialist city in the state of Massachusetts.
Well, it's all about control.
Correct.
Period.
Control. That's right. It's control. The U.S. government, or sorry, the government of Massachusetts is going to dictate to you how you are to control, you live your life by controlling what you can buy. And soon they'll be controlling what you can eat. And soon they're going to be controlling what you can look at. And they're already trying to stem free speech in America, and that is before the Supreme Court right now. And I heard a troubling summary by Judge Andrew Napolitano, who's giving his opinion, and he believes that the Supreme Court will side with the ability for the totalitarian Biden Border Czar Harris regime to continue their anti-constitutional ways and to abridge the freedom of speech of Americans. And the Biden-Harris Obama alumni regime have undertaken having people monitor social media to control the speech that and the content of speech that appears on social media. Because you, if you have an opinion that is contrary to the edicts of the dictatorial totalitarian pieces of garbage in the executive branch of government, they will shut you down. They will shut that speech down. They will tell Facebook. They will tell X. They will tell Instagram to take that content off. Now, excuse me, but we have something called the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Now, that means that the executive branch of government is acting unilaterally in their attempt to control speech. You have the city of Brookline controlling the types of products that you can purchase as a 21-year-old, as a 22-year-old, as a 24-year-old. And now we have the executive branch of government, which is basically housed by the Obama alumni, Marxists, anti-constitutional Marxists, who are seeking to control speech. They control the content that is allowed to be stated on X, let's just say. They have bypassed, not only have bypassed the United States Congress, but they have bypassed the U.S. Constitution. And since 1789, the right to free speech has been a right guaranteed in the United States of America. And we have an anti-constitutional regime now who's taken it upon themselves to overstep, overreach, and basically trash the Bill of Rights in America. That's what they've done. They have trashed the Bill of Rights. Remember, it was Charles Krauthammer in 2009 who stated that Barack Hussein Satoru Obama will fundamentally dismantle our constitutional republic. And it's continuing today. That was the mission, okay, of Barack Hussein Satoru Obama's sponsors, political sponsors, the two individuals that got Obama's career, political career started, okay? Domestic terrorist Bernardine Dorn and Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground. And they wrote that manifesto called Prairie Fire. And in it, it is designed to dismantle and dismember the U.S. Constitution. And it's exactly what's being done today by the very same people who basically have utter contempt for the U.S. Constitution. They have contempt for our constitutional republic. But why should they care? Because they've broken all kinds of constitutional rules, regulations, laws, constitutional articles such as Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. And they have failed. They have intentionally allowed America to be invaded by illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens. And they've done so since January 20, 2021, with some 90 executive orders dismantling President Trump's border policy. Not to mention dismantling Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. You want to talk about a bloodbath that's occurred at the border? We have a bloodbath that's occurred at the border since January 2021. Adherence to the globalist policies of the United Nations 2030 agenda. And what are the consequences of open borders? There's a financial impact that is absolutely destroying New York City. It's destroying Chicago. It's destroying the state of New York. It's destroying the state of Texas. It's destroying the state of Illinois. But we all get consumed by the financial risk. Now we have a health risk. And now we have a true health risk that's occurred in Chicago. Why do we know this? Is because we know that illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens not only commit crimes, but they also have some sort of diseases. They don't have the proper vaccinations and inoculations that we have here, that we've eradicated polio in America. We have controlled measles. We have controlled other diseases that third world countries have not. And there was a reason. There was a reason President Trump imposed a vetting process. And when the United States of America could not properly vet aliens seeking to migrate into America, a travel ban was initiated because there was no stable form of government. In addition to that, because Venezuela and North Korea were part of those seven countries on the no travel list, President Trump and his administration knew that you couldn't vet one migrant coming from North Korea nor Venezuela, two non-Muslim countries. And also, Trump knew that dictator Maduro in Venezuela would be releasing the most undesirable individuals, as Castro did in the 1980 Mariel boat lift. And as a result of these unvetted illegal aliens just pouring through our southern borders, pouring through our northern borders, we now have diseases that are returning into America's society after decades of being eradicated, after 5 years of being eradicated, controlled in America. And the recklessness, the intentional opening of America's borders has changed that. It changed under the Obama-Biden regime back in 2009 to 2015 with their open border policies, where northeastern states were dealing with polio-type diseases, diseases they hadn't seen in 50 years that was affecting children. Some children died. And, of course, the media, the sycophant media, okay, failed to report that. And I'll be kind to say report that, because they were all enamored with the great black dope, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. But today, under the Biden, Border Czar Harris, Obama alumni regime, illegal unvetted aliens are bringing measles into America. Well, three new measles cases are now linked to a Chicago illegal alien center. And the sanctuary city of Chicago, remember, they were set to evict illegal aliens this past Saturday. But the sanctuary city of Chicago is now dealing with the onset of a measles outbreak. Well, Vito, it's only three. No, excuse me. It's not just three. This is happening as a direct result of the Biden Border Czar Harris open border policy, a reckless anti-American, anti-constitutional policy, which is straining America's cities and states, and now, potentially infecting law-abiding American citizens. And this health crisis is brewing, because the anti-constitutional, globalist, open border policies of Biden, Harris, and the Obama regime have been put in place. You know, we can not only thank Biden, but the Obama alumni regime is certainly to blame, with the Marxist Samantha Power, who heads up U.S. aid, for facilitating and financing the invasion of America. Now, you're not going to hear it in many other places and many other sources, but USAID is run by the Marxist Samantha Power. She was and is an Obama alumni. USAID has a $50 billion budget. That's $50 billion of taxpayer money. There are over 1,000 employees in USAID. USAID has sponsored organizations which aid and abet the illegal, unvetted aliens to invade America. Organizations such as the Norwegian Refugee Council. No one's ever heard of the Norwegian Refugee Council. And now we know that USAID finances the Norwegian Refugee Council, who is working at the Darien Gap, aiding and abetting illegal aliens to come into the United States. USAID also gives money to the Red Cross. The International Red Cross is actively working with illegal aliens in South America, in northern Colombia, and southern Panama for illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to invade America. If that's not enough, USAID also sponsors the UNRWA. That's the United Nations organization, which had somewhere in the vicinity of 3,000 to 15,000 employees in Gaza. And now they say 12, but, you know, I'm not going to insult Global Patriots intelligence. They have said to be 12, only 12 individuals, employees of the UNRWA who participated in the October 7, 2023 terrorist attack on Israel, killing 1,200 Israelis, Jews. USAID, a sponsor to undermine the United States of America, to undermine the United States sovereignty. USAID is run by the Marxist Samantha Power. And now there's a health outbreak in Chicago. Not only was there three cases of measles that was confirmed in the Chicago Illegal Alien Center. Since January 1, 2024, there have been a total in the United States, in the Chicago area, there have been a total of 41 cases in 16 states. Oh, excuse me. Since February 29th of 2024, there have been 41 cases of measles in 16 states. Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Washington. By comparison, there were 58 cases of measles in 2023. So since February the 29th, not even 1 month ago, there's been three active cases that have now turned into eight cases in Chicago, and there have been a total of 41. Now get this, okay? This is the Biden regime, okay? This is the left wing in America. This is from the Chicago Department of Public Health Commissioner, Dr. Olusimbo. They call him Simbo Ig. You know, he unknowingly confirms the term unvaccinated aliens is the correct term. So listen to Simbo's statement, Simbo Ig's statement. He insisted that since most Chicagoans are vaccinated, the population is mostly safe, like being a little bit pregnant. However, measles is quite contagious, he warned. Oh, so was COVID. Because of how contagious measles is, Idge said in a statement, I anticipate seeing more cases. Wow. You know, isn't it amazing how the liberals go out on a limb like that? I mean, what a prognosticator. I wonder who's going to win. I wonder if he could pick who wins the March Madness. Wow. I mean, this Simbo Edge, man, he could be a prognosticator. Should you be exposed to someone who has measles? If you are not vaccinated, you need to immediately quarantine and call a health provider. If you are not sure of your vaccination status, stay home and call your health provider as soon as possible. There you go. Wear a mask. Wow, wear a mask. Measles outbreaks has exploded in the United States in 2024. Since February 29, 41 cases have been reported in 16 states. And by comparison, only 58 cases were reported in all of 2023. Illegal aliens intentionally allowed to invade America are unvetted, and now in addition, they are unvaccinated. And this vaccination wasn't about COVID. They bring diseases to America. which America has seemed to either eradicate or keep under control. Yet the reckless nature of intentionally opening America's borders does not pose just a financial strain nor a criminal issue, as we've seen with Lake and Riley and many other. It also is now going to be a costly health issue. This disease outbreak is a direct result of the Biden-Obama alumni regime's open border globalist policy. And we know the globalist anti-American Biden and Obama alumni regime will not deport their future Democrat Party voters. It's about fundamentally transforming America to dismantle America's constitutional republic. And that has been the mission of one Barack Hussein Satoru Obama when he first became president in 2009. And understand that this movement adopted and being implemented by the Biden, border czar Harris, and Obama alumni regime is the United Nations plan as constructed and outlined in the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And all you have to do is, if you don't want to read the 41 pages, just take a look at the cover page, the headline, how it's titled, Transforming Our World. Now, what politician in America used the term transformation? Who wanted to fundamentally transform America? And then the idiot in the White House today, lying Joe Biden, he basically uttered the same verbiage back in 2020. Fundamentally transform America. That is the mission statement of the anti-American cabal in Washington, D.C. That is the mission statement. It has been the mission statement by Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, who stated he wanted to fundamentally transform America. This is what the transformation is about. It's utilizing the United Nations, the useless nations, and their 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. We're already seeing it with the meat issue and wanting to eliminate cows and beef and start eating plants for protein. Just, it's unbelievable what we are witnessing. I mean, so when we talk about distractions, again, we have a distraction. What's happening in America today, we're being inundated with chaos. We're being inundated with distractions. Just so that we don't focus on any one of these items that are infecting America. Whether it's free speech being upended by the current regime, or illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens coming into the United States, invading America. Or how about the latest distraction by the left wing, by the Democrat National Committee? And yes, I am blaming the Democrat National Committee. I am blaming Nancy Pelosi. I am blaming and indicting each and every person of the Democrat Party. Because the mission statement since Donald Trump came down the escalator in 2016 was to derail this man. He was an outsider. He is a capitalist. He believes in free enterprise, but more important, folks, he believes in the American people. He believes in the American dream, which he has lived his entire life. Is he a risk taker? Absolutely. He has taken risks that many people have not taken or afraid to take. He stood up to bullies. He's been rewarded. You've got politicians in the United States government, politicians like career politician Chuck Schumer, who kissed businessman Trump's ass for donations. Hillary Rodham Clinton and the Clinton Foundation stuck their hands out for donations of the Trump Organization, and Donald Trump was a great guy at that point. The NAACP even recognized Donald Trump's philanthropy and the fact that he was inclusive of all races and sexes and gave him awards not once but twice. And one of those awards was with Rosa Parks and Muhammad Ali. And because he runs as a Republican, now it's fair game to destroy the man? Why? Because he's a threat to the efforts of building a democracy to transform America from a constitutional republic. He believes in the First Amendment and freedom of speech and freedom of the press, unlike the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime having people monitor and control speech on social media platforms, speech that is contrary to what we are seeing or hearing from the lying Biden regime. So can the left wing, can the Democrats, can the demonic, destructive Democrats be any more dishonest and distracting? And here we go again, the distraction of the Democrat Party. Once again, the Democrat Party orchestrating their lies, their disinformation and misinformation, and this one's a doozy. As Al and I were talking before the show, it is backfiring. The Democrat Party is flat out lying. Let's not sugarcoat anything. They are nothing but liars, cheats, and frauds. Now, here is the clip of President Trump. In his own words, at a campaign rally, talking about Communist China building car manufacturing plants in Mexico. Electric vehicles, EV plants in Mexico. Meant to destroy and take jobs, American companies. The same stupid union members who stand up and applaud Dopey Joe. And their jobs are being, our jobs, the union jobs, the people's jobs are being stolen by Communist China, who's now in bed with Mexico. Oh, and it's helping to facilitate the invasion into the United States. But hell, that's not enough. So here's President Trump in his own words.
Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. If this election isn't won, I'm not sure that you'll ever have another election in this country. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I don't think you're going to have another election in this country if we don't win this election. I don't think you're going to have another election, or certainly not an election that's meaningful. And we better get out, or we better. I actually say that the date, remember this, November 5th, I believe it's going to be the most important date in the history of our country. I believe that.
President Trump is absolutely correct. November 5th is the most important election in our history. Folks, the fix is in. The scary part of the phony narrative that's manufactured by the DNC with all their destructive Democrats and the Uniparty chimpanzees to lie about Trump's bloodbath comment, we now have confirmation. If you had any doubts at all, we now have confirmation the legacy media is totally fed with the Democrat Party. They're spreading the false narrative with their disinformation campaign against Donald Trump. Why not? Because it worked in 2016 with Russia, Russia, Russia. Hillary Rotten Clinton created and manufactured the steel dossier along with the Obama regime and MI6. And that lie was allowed to continue for 4 years and continues to this day, when in fact it is the Biden-Obama alumni regime who's in bed not only with Russia, with Ukraine, but also in bed with Communist Chinese. But you know what? Let's not get distracted and take their bait, because distracted is what the DNC and the Obama alumni machine carefully crafted this weekend for the weekend news. This weekend news was not about rising gas prices. At the gas prices went up 20 cents a gallon this past week. And it's killing the American family. It's hurting the American family's wallets. It's hurting their savings. Because not only does gas prices at the pump hurt you while you fill your car up, but it also impacts transportation businesses. And what happens when transportation businesses have increased costs? They pass it on to the consumer, the next user, who then passes along those increased prices to the next user and then to the consumer. This weekend news was not about the measles outbreak in Chicago due to illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens spreading measles, which had been controlled by the United States, the first time since 2019. The weekend news was not about how unfit Joe Biden is and now how his handlers had to buy, you know, senior sneakers in great hopes that Lion Biden can walk without tripping up or down stairs or over air. The dysfunctional and dishonest, destructive Democrats have intentionally taken President Trump's comments, bloodbath comment, out of context. Even the dishonest dopey Joe and his failed border czar cohort, Harris, their campaign put out a false and misleading commentary concerning President Trump's bloodbath statement. Biden and border czar Harris flat out lied. Oh, it's not just about misinformation. It's a lie. They are now engaged. They, Joe Biden and border czar Harris and the Obama alumni team, are now engaged in the campaign of disinformation and misinformation for his reinstallation campaign. It's just amazing how dishonest and anti-American Biden and the Obama alumni regime are, because they cannot run on their dismal and failed record for the past 3.5 years. Failed foreign policies. Every foreign policy that Biden has in place, it went down in flames. It was an abject failure. 13 American soldiers dead in Afghanistan because of Biden's failed policies. He is no foreign policy genius. He's a fucking disaster. So the Obama alumni regime concocts a distraction. Instead of Biden and the Obama alumni regime seeking ways to build manufacturing plants in America, the Obama alumni regime have adopted the globalist policies of the United Nations 2030 agenda and the Paris climate change hoax. And that's what it is, folks. We're being conned by climate change. And this regime has put the United Nations, the Paris Climate, the World Economic Forum, they have put them first and foremost over the American people and are stealing Americans' wealth. Instead of the divisive Lion Biden running a positive campaign on his domestic and foreign policies over the past 1,154 days. Why? Because he knows he's been an abject failure. You know, I read something that said inflation woes. It takes more income to buy a house in America than it did 4 years ago. And the figure I saw, it takes 80% more income to buy a home than 4 years ago, thanks to Bidenomics. Even if it's 60% more income, 50% more income. It is an inflation woe that this malleable moron in the White House will never admit to. The Obama alumni strategy is to deny, 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 and ignore. Ignore, 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 and then deny. Gas at the pump, it's at an all-time high, which the Biden-Obama alumni regime wanted those higher prices to establish their new baseline, which is over $1 a gallon more than when Biden was installed. And you know what the most frightening thing is? The Biden and Obama alumni regime have drained the Strategic Petroleum Reserve of America, which is a threat to national security. We cannot put electronic vehicles in place quick enough to offset the damage that this malleable moron Biden has done. Now, obviously, he's not alone because he's mentally unable to perform the duty. And one of the reasons for being installed is so that the Obama alumni regime can put things on fast track, including draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which was filled to capacity. 714 million barrels of oil was filled to capacity under President Trump. And it was done so at less than $40 per barrel, closer to $20 per barrel of oil. And what did the Biden-Obama alumni regime do just 2 years ago? They bought Russian oil for over $75 a barrel. They bought Russian oil. And so you have the Biden-Obama alumni regime keeping America dependent and dependent on our enemies. Those higher gas prices, they increased transportation costs for businesses, which resulted in the highest grocery prices ever, and they've not come down. The grocery prices in America are the highest they've ever been, 40 to 50% higher than 1,154 days ago. We just talked about the border a little while ago. Border, the U.S. border is the most porous it's ever been. We hear reports of 8.4, 8.9 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens coming through our borders. Bullshit. In the last 1,154 days, that number has exceeded 15 million, and it's growing even more rapidly because the border is still open thanks to the Biden, Border Czar Harris, and Obama alumni regime's open border policy. So what's the strategy for distraction? The DNC, the Obama alumni regime, manufactured yet another false, misleading, and misinformation campaign. And the DNC knows that the chimpanzees of the left wing decided to interpret the comments by President Trump as an attack on America. President Trump, as you've heard, was not calling for a war in America. He's referring to the communist Chinese creating a bloodbath in the United States of lost jobs in the automobile industry. Only Maria Bartiromo eloquently articulated that point on her show. Only Maria Bartiromo had the intestinal fortitude to state that President Trump was talking about a bloodbath in the auto industry thanks to communist China. Trump was not calling for a war in America. We know Joe Biden and the Democrat Party are in bed with communist China. We know that Joe Biden and his drug-addicted son are in bed with communist China. Communist China infused over $70 million investment in the Penn Biden Center. Communist China invested $70 million in the Penn Biden Center. That's the same Penn Biden Center where Joe Biden stored stolen classified documents, stolen as a senator, as a U.S. senator, and stolen as a vice president. Those stolen classified documents that communist China would have access to because they also had offices at the Penn Biden Center. It takes one classified document to compromise national security. Well, Joe isn't mentally fit to stand trial. Well, then how is he mentally fit to be president of the United States? Why? Because he has senior sneakers now? Joe Biden is mentally unfit to stand trial, so there's no accountability of an act of treason, of a treasonous thief's actions, Joe Biden. So the Obama alumni regime have enlisted their anti-American cabal, such as the Trump-hating nasty Pelosi, to mislead America? She gets on TV, the drunken whore from San Francisco, and she spews more Trump-hating bullshit. You know, enough is enough already. These people despise President Trump. They despise we the people. Nancy Pelosi is in Congress to benefit her, herself, her husband, and the party. It's no longer about we the people. The anti-American cabal with the Trump-hating Nancy Pelosi is misleading America. It's lying to the American people once again about Donald Trump. She misleads America into believing Trump wants a bloodbath, while the same left wing appeases communist China. Representative Eric Swalwell literally had been in bed with a communist Chinese spy, reportedly with Fang Fang. She launched his political career into the United States House of Representatives. She befriended him while he was mayor of a city in California. And yet there's no accountability for literally being in bed with a communist spy. Oh, there was a picture last week that she's in communist China now. All smiles. She did her job. Eric Swalwell did his job. How about the late Dianne Feinstein? Her driver. 20 years her driver was a communist Chinese spy. And she sat on the U.S. The Senate Armed Forces Committee. She was a very powerful U.S. senator. No accountability. None. You see, the left wing loves the communist Chinese. I mean, even Nancy Pelosi, at the outbreak of the Wuhan virus, in order to upstage then President Trump, she went to Chinatown, San Francisco. We love the Chinese people. It wasn't about the Chinese people, you dumb bitch. It was about communist China releasing a virus that was to infect the United States of America, was to infect the American people. It was also meant to distract from President Trump coming to a deal to erase the $535 billion trade deficit with communist China. Folks, that is 1/8 of our U.S. revenue. We take in $4.2 trillion at the time, a $535 billion trade deficit that's subsidized by the American people. And how dare Donald Trump look for ways to cut that trade deficit with communist China and bring manufacturing back to America. And just 12 days after that deal, that trade deficit talk is gone. It's gone. And during that time, Nancy Pelosi went to San Francisco and talked about the Chinese people. It wasn't about the Chinese people. But her political party has total and absolute control. Nancy Pelosi is lying scum. The Communist Party is deeply invested in manufacturing. And when President Xi was threatened with President Trump bring manufacturing, including automobile manufacturing, back to America, he had to be stopped. And once again, it was the left wing in America led by Nancy Pelosi to come to communist China's aid with her phony and theatrical visit to San Francisco Chinatown to paint President Trump as a xenophobe. And instead, communist China and the left wing assisted in killing over 1 million Americans with the Wuhan virus. Now, not only has the dishonest Democrats lied about President Trump's bloodbath statement, but now they're doubling down, intentionally playing the race card. And the Biden Border Czar Harris campaign is capitalizing on that. Not only that, they're equating the bloodbath statement to January 6th. And the shameless hollow man's campaign accuses President Trump of wanting another January 6th. I mean, it's nothing but shameless lies by lying Joe Biden. Shameless lies by lying border czar Kamala Harris. The Obama alumni machine are anti-American. They are lying, treasonous traitors. And it's time we start calling each and every one of them traitors to the United States. They are lying. They are seeking to suppress speech in America. They want total and absolute control. They know that Biden cannot run on his dismal anti-American record. They know this. Biden and his handlers know the globalist anti-American policies have failed the American people. They have created the most credit card debt ever in the United States, $1.3 trillion. It's never exceeded $1 trillion. But it has under the Biden, Border Czar Harris, and the Obama alumni regime, $1.3 trillion of debt by the American people. And the left wing keeps their steal going, and the left wing are playing for keeps. They are lying to the American people. They are lying, treasonous traitors. Biden cannot run on his dismal record. Biden and his handlers know the globalist anti-American policies have failed the American people, so it's imperative they employ a distraction. And President Trump doesn't go through focus groups. He doesn't have handlers. He goes out there and he speaks his mind, and that's what the American people love about the man. And he's right. He is absolutely correct. If communist China builds the number of automobile manufacturing plants, EV plants in Mexico, which the Mexican government is allowing to happen, it will destroy the American auto industry. There will be a bloodbath of jobs exiting the United States. But that's okay, because under the Marxist mentality, it's about keeping Americans dependent. Not making America great, but keeping Americans dependent. Yes, Marxism is mad. And MAD, make Americans dependent. That's exactly what needs to be done. So now the anti-Americans just continue to beat up on Trump. They take his words out of context. And they have no filter. It's okay. I mean, and if you look, and you look at the reports, CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, PBS, they all say the same fucking thing. Trump with a bloodbath. Trump with a bloodbath. Well, how could they all be saying the same thing unless there's one location, one entity that's distributing these talking points? And then Joe Scarborough, him and his wife, Mr. Miko, telling us this is what he meant. It's not what he meant. That's not what he said. It's not what he meant. Are you a moron? Did you kill that staffer? Did you have that staffer killed in your Florida office? Why haven't you answered any questions to that, Joe? I mean, if you can infer and you can distort President Trump's comments and intentionally distort as a distraction because you can't stand up for Joe Biden's policies, then I want to know, did you have that intern or that congressional employee killed in your Florida office? I mean, that's a fair question. Since you could take President Trump's words out of context, why not put the onus back on Mr. Micah? You know, it's nothing but a distraction, folks. One distraction after another because they despise President Trump. And why do they despise President Trump? Just take a look at his campaign rallies, folks. And black Americans. Black America now understands they've been used and abused by the destructive Democrat Party. They've been used as political pawns for the last 50-plus years. And it was safe for black America to migrate to the Democrat Party. And what Donald Trump did was expose the fraudulence of the Democrat Party with regards to race. Because as soon as the Democrat Party gets painted in a corner, right away it's a racial issue. Race, 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 race. That's the only way Marxists can divide the United States of America. And by God, in 2024, now that we're in a presidential election, the left wing now has employed their racist distraction as well. Don't talk about the fact that Americans are paying more for their mortgage. Don't talk about those Americans who work diligently to get a high credit score now have to pay more to subsidize those individuals who have a much lower credit score, thereby taking $40, $50, $60 per month out of the responsible individuals. And then, of course, we have the class warfare that is being done, and it's being resurrected, the same old tired class warfare being resurrected by lying Biden. Billionaires don't pay their fair share. Really? Really? Billionaires don't pay their fair share. You have a billionaire who owns, let's just say, 27 hotels around the world, employs 50,000 people. Let's just say there's 25 hotels in the United States, employs 35,000 people, employs 100,000 people who all pay taxes, 100,000 people who contribute to their communities. They buy gas, and therefore they pay a gas tax. They may pay tolls, whether it's going through the New York Thruway, the tunnel system, in the Lincoln Tunnel or the Holland Tunnel, paying the exorbitant rates to cross the Washington Bridge, George Washington Bridge in New York, or the Throgs Neck Bridge. I mean, or they drive on the Florida Turnpike to pay the tolls. They go to a grocery store in their local community and they pay sales tax. They stop in their convenience store and they buy cigarettes. Oh, my God. God forbid. But they pay not only a sales tax, they pay a federal sales tax for cigarettes. They contribute to the community. How about the employer paying 7.65%, matching the Social Security of each and every employee? And the billionaire doesn't contribute? The billionaire has to collect taxes, the income taxes, for each and every employee. The billionaire has to pay insurance premiums, workers' comp premiums. The billionaire has to pay the licensing fees for their respective businesses. But the billionaire doesn't contribute? The billionaire pays for the infrastructure by virtue of paying taxes on the hotel that's assessed at millions of dollars. Yes, those costs are pass through with regards to charging for each and every room, but you have to hire a staff to run the hotel, to run the front desk, maybe have three shifts, a staff in a restaurant, cooks. You think it takes just one cook and a dishwasher? How about limousine services? And as a result of that hotel's business, ancillary services are then generated. Lyft, Uber, taxi, limo services, airplanes. People buy airplane tickets to travel to that hotel's destination. New York, Trump Tower. How about Florida, Doral? They have a golf course. Oh, so you have to hire a golf course staff, but yet a billionaire doesn't contribute. That's an absolute falsehood. It's a lie. But the idea is to build this dissension and drive a wedge between not only races, but drive a wedge between classes, create class envy. And that's a good thing what government schools do as well, create that class envy. Suddenly capitalism is bad. Free enterprise is bad. Just ask the people of Massachusetts about free enterprise and capitalism. When the shoe manufacturers closed their doors and moved south or moved overseas, Or how about the furniture manufacturers in Massachusetts that closed their doors, maybe employing 400, 500, 600 people now who are out of a job or have had to have relocated themselves? And how about communities that can no longer afford infrastructure, can no afford services, public services like police and fire, garbage pickup? This whole mentality of you didn't build that, it's the campaign by the same old destructive Democrat Party. They despise capitalism. They despise our constitutional republic. They despise free enterprise. And yet they find ways to enrich themselves. Why? Power and greed. Bob Menendez is a great example of power and greed. Joe Biden is a great example of power and greed. Even with diarrhea of the mouth, the press, the legacy media in the United States gives Joe Biden a pass. How is that possible when you're sitting there talking about the rule of law? One rule for you and one rule for thee. The law? And now we have an out-of-control rogue government who seeks to destroy Donald Trump, who seeks to dismantle Donald Trump for daring to make America great. Making America great is now considered a terroristic act under the lying Joe Biden Obama alumni regime. They would rather adopt a Marxist principle of destroying our constitutional republic and falsely claim that making America great is an act of terrorism. In Breitbart's terms, fuck you. We the people have had enough. We the people are not going to stand for the corruption that we are witnessing today. You think it's any coincidence that Letitia Soros James, the AG of New York, came up with a $375 million fine for President Trump as a proposal? Do you think it's any coincidence? They knew exactly what they were doing. And I'm sure George Soros was in on it too, knowing that President Trump would not be able to acquire a $400 million plus bond. They knew that. Without what? Without giving up his properties to the government. Why? Because the government seeks to break the man. Why? Because he dares to make America great. Why? Because he dares to empower we the people. Why? Because he believes in this thing called the U.S. Constitution. Irrespective of the lies and misinformation by the Biden-Harris-Obama regime alumni. Al, you know about that $420 million bond issue.
Well, Trump offers a $100 million appeal bond for the court to halt the $454 million civil fraud judgment. We've all heard so much about, well, Trump has less than 30 days to pay the full judgment or appeal while posting bond with the full amount. President Trump's attorney on Wednesday asked the New York appellate court to pause the collection of his $454 million civil fraud judgment during the appeal process, but said he's willing to post a $100 million appeal bond rather than paying the full amount as the process plays out in court, which is not unusual. However, in this court, his attorney said that Judge Engoron on February 16th ruling contains a clause banning Trump, his company, and his co-defendants from securing loans from the New York banks for 3 years, which makes it impossible for him to obtain a bond for the full order, according to the Associated Press. Now, if Trump would have paid the bond that fully covers the $454 million judgment, it would have automatically halted the judgment from being executed. Trump's had less than 30 days to pay the full judgment or appeal while posting a bond with the full amount. Now, Trump filed an appeal in Engoron's orders, that's the judge, on Monday, but it didn't automatically stop the judgment from being enforced. The appeal asks the court to consider whether the judge overseeing the trial committed errors of law and or fact, in which in the first error of fact that comes to mind is the judge is now a property appraiser and appraised Trump's Mar-a-Lago property at $18 million when it's worth 10 times that, if not more. Now, Trump also asked Engoron, the judge, to delay the payment in case for another week, but he denied the request. Now, Engoron ruled in favor of New York Democrat Attorney General Letitia James before the trial even began by finding Trump responsible for inflating his wealth to secure a better loan and insurance deals. The trial, which ended last month, was on damages against Trump, which is a fait accompli. Now, if Trump does not come up with the $454 million, the state at that time will be able to take the wages from Trump and Trump businesses operating in New York. And that's the goal of this all along, is to break Trump as he's running for president, as he's beating Biden by double-digit points all over the country, even in important states, that he must win for the election. This is government oversight. This is President Biden through his conciliaries going after the president, past president of the United States, to take him out of the election. And I can guarantee you that what's happening to Trump, that if the government wanted to go after anybody with property or owns businesses, they can do it. And President Trump said in his last speech, he said, I am taking this hit for you, the people, because these Marxists can go after you as easily as me. And he said, I can guarantee you that all the other candidates who came up against me for the Republican nomination, they could not have withstood the onslaught that President Trump has stood, the law, the legal cases, the libel, the slander. Nobody could have stood up to it, and he's right. And part of that is that his net worth since he became president has dropped in half, one of the only few presidents for that to ever happen.
Yeah.
But so this is government. This is government destroying a person, destroying Trump because he's a threat to the machine. And this machine has gotten so powerful, so large, so vast, so dangerous, so infiltrated into federal, state, and local governments that, like you said, this is a very important election in November. It's extremely, extremely important. The last election was also the most important election of our time, and President Trump lost, and now look at our country. Those measles cases that you talked about earlier,
yeah,
that's just a symptom. We eradicated measles, but we got so many illegal aliens coming over we don't even know who the heck they are. They come over with fake ID, fake passports, fake papers. And these are the ones that who go through the system. We don't even know the gotaways. These are people that they just stamp them and let them in because they know that the end game on that is for the Democrats to make them legal voters. And they can do that. They can do it. Biden can do it. Biden can do it by executive order and then deal with the appeals and it going to the Supreme Court later after the election.
Biden, with a stroke of a pen, defied the United States Supreme Court and implemented a student loan forgiveness, which the Supreme Court had struck down. So that means that the executive branch of government is in violation of the United States Constitution, including the judicial branch of government. And yet he refuses to use the stroke of the pen to reinstitute and reimplement the border security policies that were put in place by President Trump. And Sue from New Mexico had posted a a story on X, Twitter. Illegal migrant from Lebanon caught at border admitted he's a Hezbollah terrorist hoping to make a bomb and was headed for New York. And Sue posted the question, how many are here? And that's a very good question. Because while we are focused and we are distracted by one Islamic terrorist being detained and apprehended at the border, how many others have come through? We've reported since 2008 about the number of cases where border agents find Qurans, prayer rugs, and other Islamic debris at the border on the United States side of the border. Not only that, we've reported since 2008 about the tri-border region in South America, which Iran, the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran, sponsors terror training camps. And these terror training camps are young terrorists. Remember, a terrorist is one between the ages of 18 and 35. That's mostly where you'll find an Islamic terrorist. And, of course, that news has gone off the board, or off the wire. But here's a 22-year-old terrorist who was training with Hezbollah, was captured at the U.S. border. He was captured at the El Paso, Texas border. He was attempting to enter the United States without papers, claiming that they were stolen at knife point in Costa Rica. So here is an Islamic terrorist who makes his way from at least Costa Rica. Was he at the Darien Gap in Panama? Was he at the Darien Gap in South Africa, in Colombia? Was he training in the tri-border region of Uruguay, Brazil, and Argentina? We don't know this. And how many others have made it through? How many other Islamic terrorists have made it through our southern borders? I mean, there's said to be over 30,000 communist Chinese nationals of military age have poured through the border in the last month. And I'm not sure if you knew this, but the communist Chinese government, they have purchased motels from the Darien Gap in Panama up through the Central American countries, including into Mexico, to allow their citizens, their communist Chinese nationals, to get hot meals, showers, and re-energize themselves as they make their way through Eagle Pass, Texas. Communist Chinese are facilitating the invasion into America. So we talked about U.S. aid, a U.S. government agency that's being headed by the Marxist Samantha Power and Obama alumni, helping to facilitate the European Union, the Norwegian Refugee Council, the Red Cross, and the UNRWA to aid and abet illegal aliens to invade America. And now we have Hezbollah, which is financed by the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. And the question is, how many are here? We don't know that. We don't know that answer, Sue, because our borders are so porous, and our enemies know this. And unless, well, we do know one thing. We do know, and we should prepare ourselves, there may be another terrorist attack, an Islamic terrorist attack. And Joe Biden, Border Czar Harris, and the Obama alumni regime are intentionally negligent in allowing Islamic terrorists to pour through our borders, our southern borders, our northern borders. Don't forget, Islamic terrorists also come in through the Canadian borders. And Canada has its problem with Islamic terrorists, but they're so woke under you just don't know how many have passed through the Canadian border. The Canadian-U.S. border. We know that in 2008, an Islamic terrorist by the name of Diary had passed through the U.S. northern border into Colorado and was in Colorado's capital, Denver, about a week or two prior to the DNC's convention. And the Islamic terrorist had a jar of ricin in his possession,
And they know it was in his possession because Dairi was dead. He exposed himself to the ricin. And he was in this hotel in Colorado. And, of course, that news had been suppressed. But there was all types of governmental alphabet agencies who were at this hotel. That's one incident. How many other incidents have there been? How porous are our borders? So now we have this 22-year-old Islamic terrorist who is training with Hezbollah, is captured and apprehended at America's southern border. He had no papers. And, you know, there was a reason why President Trump had that travel ban. And I'm going to say it again, and I'm sorry for repeating here, but the issue of accusing President Trump of being xenophobic, and then, of course, with Nancy Pelosi and her misinformation back in 2017 about banning all Muslims, that was a narrative from Rashida Tlaib and from incestuous Ilhan Omar about banning all Muslims. All Muslims were not banned in 2017, 2018, and 2019. It was an issue of not being able to vet one Muslim from Syria, not one Muslim from Libya, not one Muslim from Yemen. Why? Because there was no stable form of government. You were not going to vet one Muslim from Iran. Why? Because the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran was not going to release any type of information concerning their citizen. And, of course, Iraq, because there was no stable form of government. That's five Islamic countries out of 57. See, the lies and misinformation just didn't happen with President Trump calling for bloodshed. And we all know, we heard, that the bloodshed was concerning what communist China will do to our auto industry and the jobs of the auto industry. And all the sycophants in the union who sit there and applaud Dopey Joe, okay, and his radical anti-American policies will be looking for a job. Well, they'll be collecting unemployment. And whatever dictatorship is in place at that time, should it ever happen, God forbid, well, then you become dependent upon the federal government. Make Americans dependent. That's what the Biden-Harris-Obama alumni regime's plan is, making Americans dependent. In 2017, the Democrat Party lied, led by Nancy Pelosi, about Trump's travel ban. Why? Because you weren't able to vet one Islamic refugee, migrant, alien. You were not able to vet one citizen from Venezuela. You were not able to vet one citizen, traveler, alien from North Korea. Why? Because of national security. Why? Article 4, Section 4 was pretty clear. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. My God, President Trump was protecting America from invasion. And he's the bad guy. Al, this is never ending, man. You know, President Trump has hit a nerve with the cabal in Washington, D.C. He's hit a nerve because we, the people, are looking for that leader who is not afraid, who has the interest of the United States at hand and at heart versus the interest of their political party. And President Trump doesn't have the interest of the political party, he has the interest of we, the people. And it's very clear by the success that he had despite the Washington, D.C. syndicate each and every day trying to derail his presidency, including the institutional whores, the institutional politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And now you've got the little tyrant Joe Biden, the wicked man who shuffles what he walks, who has a proud look and a lying tongue. He's the perfect hollow man, the perfect chimpanzee to carry out the Obama alumni regime's mission of the fundamental transformation of America. And if you have any doubt, just this past weekend, it's been confirmed by the orchestrated outrage of the left wing and President Trump's comments concerning communist China decimate the auto industry jobs in America. That should have been the narrative. How dare communist China move to the south of America, to our neighbor Mexico, and build manufacturing plants in the automobile industry specifically to steal jobs from America, to destroy manufacturing in America, to make America dependent upon Mexico. No, that
was surprises you?
No, it enrages me.
Our Marxist president, it should enrage you. It should enrage everybody, because the House of Representatives last week, and this is an interesting story with TikTok. They delivered a clear ultimatum to the Chinese technology giant ByteDance to sell TikTok to American owners. To see it removed from the U.S. app stores, this bold bipartisan move signals a new chapter in the intensifying standoff between Washington and Beijing, with lawmakers aiming to protect U.S. national security while fostering technical innovation. And by a vote of 352-65, the House overwhelmingly approved the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary-Controlled Applications Act, that becomes a good thing. Now, TikTok, I'm kind of torn on this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm missing something with this whole issue. TikTok is an arm of the Chinese communist government. TikTok not only gets access to huge amounts of American data, but TikTok is destroying our culture, and they're destroying our culture with the algorithms that they're running through TikTok. They're having destructive games, cultural, anti-American cultural behavior, which they don't, the same algorithms are not in TikTok in China. So this is an act of unrestricted warfare where the Chinese government is using TikTok to weaken our culture and weaken American resolve for any type of a conflict, because once a country no longer knows who they are, what they are, our American Constitution, our Bill of Rights, what freedom and liberty mean, then that culture will easily fall. And the Chinese know this, because you don't have to take over a country these days with bombs and bullets. Eventually it'll come to that. But if America has lost its will to fight for the freedom and liberty that we love so much, and we know how special and rare that it is in this world in which we live, then that's what's at stake. So I personally don't have a problem with getting rid of TikTok. The idea, though, of forcing TikTok to be sold to an American company, there's so many ways that China can still maintain control, that it seems like a weak compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if TikTok was completely banned in the United States of America, that would be a good thing, because they're considered an enemy of the state. I mean, what do you think? What side of the fence are you on? Because a lot of Republicans are on the side of the fence that now we've got the government taking a corporation and then making them an enemy and shutting them down and trying to co-opt that business and give it to force a sale, so to speak, and then giving it to a American company designated by whom, we don't know.
Yeah, you know, I'm torn on it. I you know, for one, I don't use TikTok at all.
Me neither.
You know, we rely upon the news, I guess, and others to tell us about TikTok. If the communist Chinese are involved in TikTok, what I find troubling is the communist Chinese have banned TikTok, and they regulate the content in their country, and yet they're actively using TikTok in America and the West to undermine the United States. I do have a problem with that. Now, can TikTok be regulated in the United States? Do we want the federal government
regulating social media. And, you know, the problem is that we have nefarious individuals inside of our government that will take the shutting down of TikTok as a sign that they have the ability to do that with X, with Facebook, with Instagram, and any other source of social media. And that is troubling because the U.S. Constitution is quite clear. The government shall not, Congress shall not infringe upon free speech. And that means that the executive branch of government cannot unilaterally rule a rule or law that attacks free speech. I don't know, Al. Are they working with MSNBC and the DNC along with, you know, TikTok to spread disinformation? We don't know. So if anybody has an opinion on that, please call us 319-527-6706 and give us your opinion about whether TikTok should be taken over by the federal government, the U.S. government, should be banned in America, and what does that mean for free speech in America? Because I certainly don't want to give the executive branch of government any ammunition to think that they can just unilaterally go after, you know, a public platform. Now, if it's absolutely true that Communist China is controlling the content of TikTok, well, that's a subversion. It's bad enough that we have the Democrat Party who subverts language and it's subverting our Constitution. We don't need Communist China doing the same thing in the United States. But how do you control that?
And was TikTok used to go after conservatives during the last election cycle and to go after conservatives on a continuing basis? And the answer to that is yes.
Okay,
government,
so
oversight.
No, and you know, is that all intertwined then? I mean, is it all intertwined?
That's a part of it.
Right?
Yeah, it's a part of it. There's you can't separate it. It's in the fabric. There's so many that makes this case so interesting. Now, a lot of the conservative bloggers that I follow and sites that I follow, they're very clear. TikTok is an arm of the Chinese Communist government. It is an agent of the Communist government against the United States of America and should be shut down, period. And if you don't like it, too bad. And then everybody on TikTok, go somewhere else. And doing it under national security threat.
Well, you know what?
Does that tear up the fabric of our Constitution? I'm good with that.
Well, we have somebody took the bait. We have somebody on the line right now. And I want to say hello to Hoser.
Well,
how you doing?
I'm doing good. I can't resist an argument with Al.
Well, it's more of a question. That's what makes this so interesting. There's so many, on the other hand, this could be right, but on the other hand, that could be right, but on the other hand, they're both wrong. So I'm looking very forward to hear your take on this issue, a wise Viking.
It's not a very complex argument I have. I follow a rule of thumb. As an individual, as an American citizen, I follow a rule of thumb. Everything that the government wants to do, I do the opposite. Okay? So if the federal government, you know, wants to shut down TikTok, that's a bad thing. Everything the federal government does is a bad thing. And I got to just add this since I brought that up. Somebody on Twitter just yesterday put up a post and said, they put up a post on X and they said, can you name one thing since Joe Biden became president that the federal government has done that's a good thing? And, of course, all these people are going like, oh, no, it's been a disaster. And I responded back and I said, I'm 65 years old, and in 65 years they've never done a single thing that was good for me. I'm serious. So the point being is this, is if they – I figure if a entity in this country can figure out a way to steal an election in 2020 – they can probably come up with a way to connect some sort of supposed enemy with X, with Twitter, with Elon Musk. So if you pass this law, then you better be prepared in 6 months, they're going to shut down X. They're going to shut down every form of free speech that conservatives in this country have. They
agreed.
They have already declared war on the First Amendment. It's been alarming, the attacks on our First Amendment. It's fair game now. And so, you know, bottom line is, if the Chinese, you know, devious strategy is to fuck with the minds of Gen Z people, you know, and getting them to question their gender or something. Good grief. We got school teachers that are doing that nonstop a day here. We don't have to worry about the communist Chinese. We got enough people in this country that are undermining the culture and society and trying to destroy it. So I am firmly opposed to anything that resembles any sort of — that's an infringement on free speech in my mind. It's no different than what the feds did, you know, screwing with Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blocking. You know, the government basically axed. Axed Donald Trump from Twitter. I mean, the government. The government stifled the voice of a president of the country and a candidate.
And the press. Don't forget that, too. They also violated the other part of the First Amendment, freedom of the press, with the New York Post being banned from Twitter for posting a fact.
Absolutely. They blocked that. So, you know, bottom line, I think the TikTok thing is just – You know damn well that there isn't a single thing that's gone up on TikTok that any Democrat would object to. I mean, these are the people that want pay-per-view for an abortion. Okay, so there's nothing that they would object to. There's always a reason for them doing things, and the reason is they have to set the precedent.
But also, there's another reason. Let me give you this reason, and tell me if I'm off base on this one. You see, what immediately came to mind when the vote was 354 to 63, it's like, whoa, wait a minute here. Hold on. We have a threat since January 20, 2021, and that's open borders. We have Islamic terrorists coming through. We have illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens coming through. We have cartels coming through. We have who knows what else coming through our borders. And that is a national security threat that is going to linger for years in the United States. And you mean to tell me that 535 members of Congress couldn't take that up immediately, but yet we're going to sit here and talk about TikTok? And again, we're distracted at the fact that TikTok, Communist China, is behind it, and yet the bloodbath of the auto workers losing their jobs as a result of Communist China is not even talked about. So,
well, I could come back and ask you that: what has Joe Biden and the Congress done since 2021? What have they done to actually protect America, you know, from a defense standpoint and so forth. What have they actually done? They've done nothing. They've actually put us in jeopardy over that time frame. So now all of a sudden, out of the blue, all of a sudden, there's this big stance that we've got to protect the country from the communist Chinese, and we got to shut down TikTok or at least get the ownership transferred over. I mean, you'd have to be a moron not to see through this, you know. And you know, it's tempting. I mean, it was tempting for a lot of people to say, yeah, that's a good thing because we don't want that. But I mean, this country has allowed a lot of stuff over the past 100 years. You know, we've allowed the communists to take a foothold gradually and so forth because of the kind of country we are. You know, unfortunately, we don't have walls up to keep people in. You know, we don't even have walls to keep people out. But we have a constitutional republic that gives people an incredible amount of rights. That doesn't give them rights, but protects their rights. And when you do that, you leave yourself open to a lot of attack and a lot of devious people. You know, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast.
Okay,
and
I have a call
that
agrees with you, Holger.
I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, I wouldn't live here if I didn't have those rights and I didn't have that freedom and I didn't have that liberty. So, you know, all of a sudden to think that Nancy Pelosi is concerned about, you know, some sort of, you know, twerking, you know, video on TikTok is ridiculous. It's up their sleeve to absolutely eliminate any sort of communication in this country between conservatives, patriots, whatever you want to call us, MAGA, whatever you want to call people that aren't in line for communism. They absolutely want us shut off from each other. They don't want you ever going to the Gateway Pundit ever again. They certainly don't want you listening to the Vito and Al show.
Well,
that's
their
goal.
Or maybe it's a distraction. It's a distraction with what the SEC, with the Securities and Exchange Commission, is doing under the climate disclosure rules that it finalized. And the SEC is now putting regulatory oversight that is costing companies an enormous amount of money, way outside of the Securities and Exchange rules and regulations, and more than half the states in the U.S. filed lawsuits this month against the SEC, and maybe this is part of a partial head fake to get this passed and
hey,
bulldoze through.
I have Sue on the other line too, so Sue, go ahead, chime in. You agree with Holger on his assessment or opinion?
Oh, yeah. Holger, you're just spot on what you're saying. And, you know, I stay off of TikTok. You know, the beginning of TikTok was they were mining people's data, you know, to get on TikTok. TikTok, they, you know, can go further and get data. That was the beginnings of this, you know, as it came on. But these idiots that they're saying, you know, these kids and everything that they're, you know, causing fentanyl, you know, overdoses and everything. I mean, the arguments I'm hearing against TikTok just absolutely blows my mind. And I agree, Holger. I think, you know, from TikTok, it goes on to something else. And anything the government controls is definitely a bad thing. And what's really funny is Joe Biden is going on TikTok campaigning for president.
Yes.
Now, how ludicrous can you get there? But you are I just had to tell you, Holger, you and me disagree sometimes, but boy, you're just right on when it comes to this. I enjoyed your argument. Hear, hear.
It's a valid one. Just to recap, Holger the Viking's argument is if the government is behind it, run as fast and disagree as loud as you can. And there is a lot of wisdom in that. And I was on the fence, but now I'm firmly, I am securely and definitely in Holger the Viking's side. That little bit of wisdom pushed me over, and I agree with you 100%.
You know, and I'll just finish up with this and the fact that I think eventually what these clowns want to get to is the fact where they can just turn over all the decision making to the globalists, so that this is the new order from the United Nations that Americans are not allowed to participate in the following social media, bing, 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 okay? And Americans now can no longer own the following weapons, bing, 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 bing. That's where they want to get to. But so I think this is all part of their, you know, the old boiling frog scenario. This is something where it's like, oh, let's get this passed, and they'll have their first taste of censorship in this country. And in fact, they'll be like, we'll even get our enemies on the conservative side to say, yeah, this is really good.
Oh, that is so good.
It's mind games, man. anyway. All right, guys. And Sue.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thanks,
talk to you guys later.
You were great today.
All right. See ya.
Great call,
right.
Holger. Thank you.
Thanks, Holger.
Have a great week.
Hey, can I, you know, when he started talking about the globalists,
yes.
I came across something today. Guess where Obama is?
I heard he's in, go ahead, tell us.
Well, he's in the UK, isn't he, having some kind of secret meetings that he won't disclose and nobody can, so far has gotten out what he's doing over there.
I
and
saw that, too, and I was very concerned.
Well, the little bit that they put out, it has something to do with his Obama Foundation, you know, because
right.
I tried digging into it, and, you know, it's not hitting a lot of the news or anything, but they do have pictures of him over there. And it's interesting at this point of time, why is he in the UK? And they're trying to shut down, you know, the TikTok, you know, all this communications and everything. And that's a big agenda. You know, the globalists, they do, like Holger said, they want to control. They want to control everything. They want to control our thoughts. And you control our thoughts by controlling the way we are able to communicate. So,
He met with former labor leader, or he met with the labor leader, Sir Keir Starmer. Gee, that's a surprise. He met with a fellow communist. Unbelievable. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Something is going down, and I connect all of this. Oh, and you know what? Also, you want to talk about China. They shot down some more Chinese weather balloons.
Son of a gun. How does that happen?
But not after it passed over. Yeah, not after it passed over a U.S. base. I can't quite remember right now what U.S. base. But it didn't hit mainstream news either.
No, you know.
You know, they're so worried about China, yet, you know, they're letting China do everything. Chinese coming in, everything else. TikTok is the least of our worries.
Yes, ma'am. Agreed, 100%, Sue.
So
thank you for the call. We got about 3 minutes left. I'm going to close the show.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Sorry.
No, it's
all
okay.
Right,
I'll put you on hold, okay? Thank you, Sue. You have a nice evening.
Thanks, Sue.
Listen, this Wednesday we have Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Check out Hank at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and his posse. I'm sure he'll be talking March Madness. The brackets should be set. There should be some playoffs to determine the final 64. And I'm sure they'll be talking basketball and Big Ten. God, I can't believe it. Why don't they talk SEC? I mean, the Big Ten. What the hell is the Big – no, just kidding. On Saturday, Minister Sam Adakduk and a beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Listen, there's a lot going on with Islam. There still is a lot going on with Islam. Please check out Minister Sam Adakduk's show. It's a fantastic show, and you can get a great education. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, on Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, great sidekick Arthur Curtis Bennett. Check out Annie on Blog Talk Radio at, from 1 to 4 p.m. If you want a break from politics and apolitical show, Simone Nicole Show, hosted by Joshua, 8 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com. He's got a great self-help show. I really love Joshua's show. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursdays at AudreyRusso.com. Audrey is a great American. Love her show. Love Mr. P and his great rants. Joe Gibson, Restoring Our Republic, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out Joe's show on Blog Talk Radio. Check out Bigfoot's Place. That's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Excellent blogspot. Just Big does a fantastic job. Conservative news from the United States and around the world. Thank you for what you do, Big. Hello to Boyd. You get a Mama Mia No Sharia first in the chat room. Golf Dogs, HOV Radio. Snowman James, nice to see you, James. And, of course, the delectable and delightful lady from New Mexico, Sue. Thank you for calling. As well as Holger the Viking, thank you for calling, sir. And you actually changed Al's mind. Al, you have any parting shots on that?
Hey, if Holger's right, if the government's involved, stay away. It's got to be bad. No wiser words ever been spoken.
Ain't that the truth? Go to Truth Social as well. Hey, folks, have a great evening. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate your support. You all be safe out there. And let's make November 5th a bloodbath. Thanks. Ciao for now.
Yes, it was my way.
There we go. Wow. Right on the button.
Man, you got skills.
I missed. And Sue actually just texted me about the Israeli Prime Minister, Israeli Benjamin Netanyahu speech. What a speech that was. You know, basically told Chuck Schumer to F off, which is great. You know, I mean,
yeah,
I know we didn't get to it, but. What? Go ahead.
Yeah. It's shameful. No, it's shameful. Getting involved in another country's calling for a change in leadership in the middle of a war. What a piece of human garbage. And then President Biden goes, great call. Good Lord.
Wait, and you know, okay, so here you have Biden and Obama alumni regime getting involved once again in the Israeli politics, okay, seeking to undermine Netanyahu as they did in 2013. They did it again in 2022 with the protests in 2023. And you know who else came out just last week about the United States interfering in their elections? Zimbabwe. You have the Obama alumni regime interfering and seeking to interfere with the Zimbabwe elections, the free democratic elections of Zimbabwe, so much so that the ambassador called out the a Biden-Obama alumni regime and had tremendous disdain for what they had done. So, you know, this particular regime is really, talk about rogue. I mean, they're trying to upend the American, they're tampering with the American elections by going after their political opponents, and there's no apologies for doing that. They're utilizing and weaponizing U.S. aid governmental agencies to go after Trump and destroy Trump, irrespective of we the people's wishes. And they're going after their opponent in a major political party. I mean, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has complied with the establishment and decided to go as an independent in order to basically show that he's a good party guy. And he complied with the Democrat Party's wishes to give Joe Biden no opposition in the primary, so they could stage this this candidacy. And now they're going after President Trump. They're going after Benjamin Netanyahu and tampering with the Israeli elections. And they're now found to be tampering with the elections in Zimbabwe. There's absolutely zero bounds for these bastards.
So RFK Jr. went independent. He left the Democrat Party.
Yeah, because he had 20% of the vote in the Democrat primary, and they wouldn't give him a seat on the stage, nor would they allow him to debate dopey Joe Biden, because they have to protect Joe. He can't need that stress. So he went over to the independent side, and now he go to Libertarian. I think he's going to be joining, in order to get on the ballots in all 50 states, or in the majority of states?
Oh, no, I saw a picture earlier where for St. Paddy's Day, the Kennedy family went to the White House, the whole family, all 50 family members or whatever, mm-hmm. It was a big family, with President Biden. And you know who was missing from the Kennedy family picture at the White House?
Who?
RFK Jr.
Of course.
So he got shamed. He got estranged from his whole family, and they publicly put everything in Biden's vault.
Yes. Yes.
They made a choice. They made a choice and forsaken blood relative. All because of politics.
Well, yeah, and don't forget now, okay, so let's talk about and stay on the thread of politics, okay, which also has made me open my eyes to RFK Jr. So, you know, there was talk about him taking the Aaron Rodgers, the football player, and then somebody else. Well, now he's going to announce, RFK Jr. is going to announce his VP running mate, and she was married to the Google tycoon. And she works for the Democrat Party, or she worked for the Democrat Party. So she's got a shitload of money. She financed a $4 million ad campaign during the Super Bowl. And she is said to be going to be announced as RFK Jr.'s running mate. So he's gone with the institution. He's gone with the establishment. Okay. Now, is it possible that would then help, you know, take votes away from Biden? Probably. But obviously, you know, the idea would be to try to split the vote like a Ross Perot, except Ross Perot was a capitalist. Even though he was a nut, he took 15% of the vote away, and he took the majority of that vote away from George H.W. Bush, which allowed the election of Bill Clinton, who never got 50% of the vote.
Right.
But he was able to capture enough of the Electoral College votes as a result of the damage that Ross Perot did. I don't think RFK Jr. is conservative as Perot, which could be good for Trump. But he's looked, you know, RFK Jr. is going to be looked as the alternative to Dopey Joe.
Well, yeah, on the Democrat side, I agree with you. I don't think he'll be a threat to the Republican side. He might take a couple of votes of just rhinos who are Democrats anyway, but that's a very small vocal minority.
Yeah.
I think it'll be minuscule. I think it'll be more angry Democrats that will leave Joe Biden in a heartbeat, just like uncommitted, the uncommitted vote.
Oh yeah.
During the primaries, the uncommitted got close to 20%, if I recall.
Wow.
Which was huge.
So then they have an alternative. They can go with RFK Jr.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if they want to make a statement vote. Because Trump is going to have to win by such a huge landslide margin to overcome whatever cheating there may be or will be. Not maybe, but will be.
Well, Vladimir Putin did get 86.8% of the vote.
He did. How awesome is that? I didn't realize he was so popular. It's great to be a dictator.
That's truly incredible. I can see the Babylon Bee headlines, you know. The Biden-Harris campaign sends their leaders to Russia to find how Vladimir Putin was able to get 87.86% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
to beat three major. Oh, my God. Oh, this whole thing with the bloodbath is just unbelievable. You know what? Sue asked a really good question. So you think Biden will win? I think that Biden will make it to at least the DNC convention and give his slurred speech. But after that, I got to tell you, I'm still suspect as to whether or not that guy is going to be the guy come November 5th. I think there's something that is up with this whole thing. You know, Biden continues to drop like a rock. He's unappealing. You know, Trump gets out and gets 25,000 people at a campaign rally in East South Carolina or in Illinois, and Joe Biden can't even get 100 people at a rally.
And they boo him at his rallies.
They boo rallies, yeah. Yes.
But you know something, Vito, this is going to be a bait and switch. I guarantee you 100% we're all focusing on Biden. The news things are focusing on Biden and, you know, all of his screw-ups and everything. By them not putting in their real candidate, nobody's focusing on them. And I still think there's a good chance it's going to be Michelle Obama. The only reason it may not be her is because Obama would have more trouble controlling Michelle. And he's the one in the driver's seat. But Joe Biden is not going to run. And they're doing all of this so we keep ourselves away from who's truly going to run. And they're not going to be scrutinized. And I think Trump knows this.
You know, and the other side of the coin, Sue, and this is something that I keep falling back on, I think that there is a plan that Biden wins irrespective. I think Biden stays in and wins because I think there will be so much cheating involved. And the narrative will be, and as you can see, the narrative's being set now. The media is complicit with Trump and the bloodshed comments. They're furthering it. They're now inserting Charlottesville. They're incorporating race in January 6th. So, you know, it's really ripe with fraud. And I think they're setting it up to where, you know, Joe Biden got 81 million votes in 2020. Who's to say that he doesn't get 84 million votes because it'll be sold as being a protest vote against Trump? And I think that they're capable of cheating in that fashion.
Let me real quick let you know something that's really changed. You know, Ronna McDaniel, whatever her name is, she's out, right, from
RNC. Yep.
Do you know who Scott Pressler is, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's on He's been hired by the RNC for harvesting of votes. Did you know that?
I saw that. Mm-hmm.
So they're starting to play the Democrats' games. And I told you, I don't know, a couple of shows back when we were talking, remember when I said, I think we need to do mail-in voting. You know, I wish the polls until they were completely closed. No results were given out whatsoever, but they're not going to do that. When they give out the results, then the Democrat Party starts to know how many votes they have to manufacture. But if the Republicans, as long as this mail-in voting in these states is going on, if the Republicans mail in their votes also, there's no way for the Democrats to know how many votes they really have to manufacture. I think that's one of the reasons Scott Pressler was put in.
Hey, well, Byron Donalds has been sending out the infos over the last 2 months. I've been getting some emails with the on a blast emails, and Byron Donalds is absolutely in favor of that. It's the Democrat Party did it, so you know what? It's fair game, and I think you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. And, but, you know, I think when Pressler talks about harvesting votes, he's talking about getting through the mail, getting to people, mm-hmm. and getting those people to vote. It's not illegal harvesting, okay?
Right.
You know,
yes.
So I think it's kind of been a little bit different than actually what the Democrats do. But it just... I mean, we have to go that way. I hate mail-in voting. I hate the machines. I hate all of it. But until then, you know, there's nothing we can do. And did you see what SCOTUS did to Texas today?
No, I've been watching the First Amendment issue. I did not see anything on Texas.
They permanently banned Texas from implementing their immigration laws.
Really?
They ruled against Texas. Yeah. It just came out this afternoon. Or anyway, I hope what I read is correct, but it seemed like it was. You know, this source that I had, I don't know that they would put that out otherwise.
I'll definitely take a look at that. I know
yeah.
there's been the issue
yeah.
of the free speech, but holy cow.
Because I haven't really delved into that. But I think SCOTUS ruled against him on that, because there was one part that was still in the court, correct?
Yes, because they had the issue of the razor wire, and then that was approved, and... yeah, I think, and they were going to build a little bit more of the wall, I believe, and I think that's what Governor Abbott had called for.
I think this had to do with them arresting. Wasn't that going into the Supreme Court?
Oh, and detaining. Yes, I believe so. You're correct.
Yeah. I think it might have had something to do more with that. I'm trying to look it up now, and I'm not seeing it. But I think that was a part of it more than anything was. Yeah, I don't see. Maybe that's a totally false story. I should have checked it out sooner before I talked to you about it, but if it was anything, I think that was the part of it that they were looking to block, you know, that they couldn't enforce their own immigration laws.
I will definitely look at that.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Well, I'll get off. Thank you, guys.
All right. Have a nice evening. Thank you for the call, Sue.
Sue, great talking with you. Have a great week.
Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next Monday.
All right. Well, listen, have a nice week. I'll talk at you. You know, thanks for letting me opine tonight, and we'll talk to you later, eh?
Sounds good. Bye for now.
That's all, folks.